I was thinking about what to preach tonight, and I was contemplating in regards to a Thanksgiving message, but the Lord again reminded me of a few priorities, and I felt that He was wanting us to rather move on in Mark chapter 6 tonight.
Mark chapter 6 in verse 34, and it's really interesting how the Lord sometimes puts together messages. You know, I had a whole outline and everything going already, and was thinking about a title, and all of a sudden there's this one little phrase or this one little truth that you dig into deeper into, and you're like, well, there's a whole message here by itself, amen. And I love it when the Bible illustrates itself. I think that is so vivid, so powerful. And many times we need to learn a little bit to be able to relate to some of these ancient pictures, maybe. But that's where it gets exciting, right? So we want to turn to Mark chapter 6 in verse 34 together. If you have your Bibles, please. Mark chapter 6 in verse 34. The Bible says there in Mark 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. And so just to back up here and give a little bit of a context, the Lord had sent out his disciples two by two. They've been spreading the gospel of Christ all across the nation. Then they've came back, and John the Baptist was just recently martyred, beheaded for standing up for righteousness against corrupt government. Amen. Times haven't really changed that much. And so with all of that going on, the Lord wanted to give his disciples a bit of a break. Praise the Lord. Amen. Did you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is not a hard taskmaster for his labors? Praise the Lord. Amen. And as the old saying goes, sometimes we need to go apart before we fall apart. Amen. And take a little bit of a rest to refresh. Excuse me. And here then, we find them wanting to get into a little bit of a desert place. And guess what? People are already waiting for them again. How does the Lord react? Well, verse 34, and Jesus, when he came out, saw much people. Mine eye affecteth mine heart, the Bible says, amen, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, so it was going on quite a while. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him. Now, those guys, of course, always know the right thing to do, right? What would Jesus have done without the advice of his disciples, right? But you know, sometimes that's how we live with the Lord too, aren't we? And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, you know, if I, without changing the word of God, of course, if I may put this into my own words, they basically said, Lord, you know, when did you check the time? Did you notice it's getting late already? Like the Lord would forget, right? They say, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Lord, you're getting late. We don't know, of course, but I wonder if the Lord would have maybe asked, well, according to whose schedule? Amen. Lord, it's getting late. According to whose schedule, though? This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away. They were looking for a holiday, amen? Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. Man, the concern, the burden these disciples had for these poor people, amen? Or maybe just rather for the rest and the holiday they were looking for. And I love that, folks. How relatable, how normal these disciples were. And you know, we give them this phrase, the 12, the disciples, the follower of Christ. But really, they were men and, well, women even in his entourage as well that took care of them, like you and me. The Bible says that they were all men subject to like passions, amen? They had the same weaknesses, the same needs, the same struggles. And here, though, we find Then as the Lord steps out of the boat onto the shore, there where they finally were looking for a little bit of quietness, he's affected with compassion towards the people in need. And notice here, it gives there an illustration. Because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. As sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. I'd like to preach a message tonight on But First Bible. But First Bible. The first thing I'd like to notice here is the sheep gone astray. The sheep gone astray. It is noticeable here how the Lord considered their need with compassion and how he was sufficient to meet their need. Amen. Notice, what was their need? Well, not what the disciples saw. Well, it's getting late. We're in a lonely place out in the wilderness. Surely these people need to find a grocery store. That's how the disciples were thinking. Pragmatic, right? Jesus, we know you sometimes get carried away with your passion, but, you know, let's make sure we're keeping this all in check, right? But no, what was the Lord seeing? He saw their spiritual need first. He saw that they were as sheep gone astray. Let's go back to Isaiah chapter 53, please. Isaiah chapter 53, where we get a little bit of that context of this idea of sheep having gone astray. Sheep without a shepherd cannot find any shelter, safety, or provision for themselves. The sheep are exposed to all the dangers of the wilderness without their shepherd's care. And folks, the same is true about people as well. People without the shepherd of their souls, without the Lord Jesus Christ, are exposed to all that is within the world. And it's dangerous. And they're doomed without the shepherd. They're doomed because of the beasts and the ravening wolves. They're doomed because of the temptations and trials of the world. They're doomed because there's an attack at every opportunity to destroy all those who are just mindlessly wandering about. Because they're out of the care of the shepherd. And we see the spiritual relation there in Isaiah 53 verse 6. The Bible says, they're all, we like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. What made us go spiritually astray? To stay within the sheep shepherd illustration the Lord is being touched by here. Well, our sin, our iniquity made us go astray. The Bible says that it is our iniquities who have separated between us and God, our Creator. It is a sin that cuts us off from the blessing, the life, and the joy, and the forgiveness of God. And it is the wages of sin that is death. We live in a world that is fully submitted to and fully filled with sin and its agenda. And so then to go about as sheep of the Lord and attempting to keep ourselves safe and secure is really foolish and dangerous. As I've mentioned so many times before, I will always consider a great privilege that a few weeks that I spent working with a shepherd in Germany. And this was a traditional shepherd. I mean, you talk about 300 mammas and I think three or four border collies and, you know, a big raincoat and a nice German hat and a huge staff. I mean, really, the whole deal, the entire picture. Weathered face, good, kind, hard. I mean, that guy was the real deal. And I believe he was even a believer as well. And so that was a bonus blessing. But I'll never forget how he would teach to me the importance of not leaving a single sheep behind. And so my job was, as the shepherd would go on ahead and lead the flock, because that's what the shepherd does. The shepherd never drives the sheep. He always goes ahead of them. Amen? And they follow his voice. They listen to his footsteps and the vibrations and so forth. Anyways, it's very fascinating to study out how sheep work and why I believe the Lord used them so much to illustrate our lives, folks. But it was my job then to go behind together with a couple of those border collies and make sure not a single lamb, not a single sheep would go astray and be left behind somewhere eating on a bush or, you know, running off into a ditch somewhere by itself. That is how important it was that a sheep would not go astray. A sheep all by itself was a dangerous situation. I mean, there were roads everywhere. There were people, there were other dogs and wildlife, and most of all, they would be out of food and water very quickly. And a sheep is completely dependent upon the care of the shepherd for shelter, for food, for water. And I was thinking, spiritually speaking, how does a sheep lose its way? How does a sheep come astray? The first thing I think we can look at it in at least five different ways. The first way that a sheep can go astray is when it's attracted by other things out there in the wilderness, away from the safety of the flock. Away from the safety of the flock. And the sheep finds something that's more attractive and more appealing. It is tempted and seduced. And it lusts after those other things. The Lord Jesus Christ warned us that the lust of other things and the things of this world will crowd out the voice and the desires of the Word of God in our life. We get easily astray and distracted. Secondly, the sheep wanders aimlessly, not paying any attention. It's not like they're saying, oh, there's the shepherd. I don't like the shepherd. I'm going to go walk over here. They're just, oh, where's the shepherd? Where am I? What happened? Who's ever gotten lost in the grocery store when they were a little kid from their parents? Oh, that's super terrifying, amen? I mean, I cried. I screamed. I looked for police. I prayed for the rapture. Anything, right? these stores seem endlessly big, amen? And you know what? It wasn't because, you know, I was trying to rebel and run away from my parents. I just got distracted by some item somewhere and I wasn't watching. I was wandering around aimlessly, not paying attention and getting lost from the way that I was supposed to go. The sheep is already lost by the time it discovers that it has lost its way. That's why he needs the care of the shepherd. Thirdly, the sheep refuses to heed the warnings of the shepherd or the example of other sheep. And that's, you know, of course, they're the pride of life that 1 John chapter 2 talks about. I know better, thank you very much, and I'm going to go my own wrong way. Yeah, I understand that's what the Bible says, but... I hear what you're saying, Pastor. You know, it's just a bit, you know, overboard. You know, oh, I don't think it's that big a deal as the Bible makes it out to be. Oh, it's you know, I know my own way. Thank you very much. The sheep refuses to heed the warnings of the shepherd. Fourthly, the sheep gets lost and gets astray when it's not attached close enough to the shepherd or the flock of other sheep, not staying close enough. There is that bond or that union that ought to be there with the sheep and the shepherd and the whole flock. And when the sheep stays off by itself somewhere, eating or resting or whatever doing all by itself somewhere off there in the bush, guess what? It's very easy to accidentally wander off somewhere without anyone knowing it and be left behind. Or worse yet, the predator, the adversary of our soul, what's his name? Satan. the adversary of our soul, amen, he goes around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour, the Apostle Peter said, amen. Now, what does a lion do? He lingers around the herd, and he's watching for the weak one, for the distracted one, for the one that strangles to the side a little bit, the one that stays behind, and poof, that's the one they go after. Because they weren't watching, they weren't staying close in the safety of the herd or the flock, and staying close by the shepherd. And lastly, number five, the sheep gets astray when it does not trust the shepherd. When it does not trust the shepherd. Oh, I hear the shepherd's voice. I see the shepherd leading this way. But you know what? I just don't know. You know, there's some stones and rocks on that path. And, you know, I can't quite see where he finds that grass and that water source. You know what? I'm just going to go over here. I don't know if I can trust that shepherd. I think I can find some greener pasture, some more satisfying drink somewhere else. Folks, all of these truths, of course, are applicable in that physical picture of the sheep and the shepherd to us spiritually as well. And that's why the Lord is called the shepherd of our souls. And I want to turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. If anyone knew anything about going astray, I think it was probably the Apostle Peter. Amen. Denying the Lord three times after being warned about it and walking away from following and serving God. I go fishing and yet the Lord had mercy upon him. Yet the Lord made it a point to specifically convey a message to Peter with the woman after he rose from the grave. Yet the Lord made it a point to specifically meet with Peter alone after his resurrection. And the Lord made it specifically a point to talk with Peter there on the shoreside of Lake Galilee and commit the task of service again into his care. If anyone knows about how the good shepherd brings back a straying sheep, it would be Peter. So he writes in 1 Peter 2, verse 23, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, his death on the cross, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. Revile means being accused, being attacked, being slandered, being mocked, maligned, named, name called, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. But committed, that means trust, surrendered himself into the care, committed himself to him that judges righteously. Now who's that? Who's the righteous judge of all the earth? God, amen. Notice verse 24, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. And folks, this verse of scripture, of course, is super important, as unfortunately a lot of false teachers take a passage of scripture in Isaiah 53, about being healed through the stripes of Christ and use it for all sorts of physical healing and financial prosperity and all sorts of false doctrine, which Jesus Christ never died and paid for. That was not his concern. His concern was our reconciliation back to God the Father in heaven. His concern was to bear our sins in his own body on the tree. And that is the healing that we needed for our souls. And so that's why in verse 25, he says, for you were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop, that is the overseer or ruler, the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Now notice there's a capital S. This is a reference not to your local pastor. Those are called under-shepherds in 1 Peter chapter 5, or they're referred to as being under the chief shepherd. No, this is the shepherd of your soul. You don't trust another man. worth the keeping of your eternal soul. You trust the good shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And the sheep believe and trust their good shepherd. Others may not trust them, but the sheep do. So, looking once again at that picture of those sheep that caused the Lord to react with such compassion, I want to consider now the aspect of those sheep that return to the fold, that return to the Lord, that now follow the shepherd. And that those we see described, of course, in John chapter 10. I believe every believer ought to love and know John chapter 10. The good shepherd. If you're comforted by Psalm 23, John chapter 10 will go hand in hand with that, all right? John chapter 10. And even if you never had that privilege of working with sheep, with the sheep farmer, so to speak, John 10 will give you a lot of powerful truths and illustration without that context. I want to read in verse 4, John chapter 10, verse 4. Or just maybe some of you want to read that. John 10, verse 4 and 5, please.
And when he put it for his own sheep, he goes before them. The sheep follow him, for they know his voice.
And verse 5, please.
And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers.
Thank you. I experienced that. This is true. As I watched that German shepherd take care of his sheep, thank you for getting my joke, amen. He would always walk ahead. And so one time I asked him, I was like, should I, you know, walk in the back and make sure, you know, they all get going there to the next pasture where we're leading them? And he said, don't. You're going to spook them and they're going to run in the opposite direction. You said, you just walk right alongside me. And then we would walk, and he'd be stomping his staff, and he'd constantly chat with me. And so one time I asked him, why do you keep talking so much? Because he was not a chatty person otherwise. And he said, I want the sheep to hear my voice. Because just by the sound of my voice, they all know where to go. Now, they didn't follow my voice. When they heard me, and for sure once they saw me, they'd ran the other way. I was the stranger, even. I wasn't the shepherd. They knew that the shepherd would feed them and guard them and take care of them. And he went before them. He explained to me that the sheep, and that's why he had a staff, and he'd walk and stomp his staff. He said the sheep in their feet can sense those vibrations, and their brain from young on is trained to follow that as the shepherd leads them, not drives them, and watches out for their care. Notice if you drop down to verse 27, again he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do we follow the shepherd's voice in our life? Now notice the contrast there. Stranger, they will not follow. Well, that is, of course, referring to false teachers, dangers to the spiritual well-being of our souls. And folks, false teachers and strangers have always been trying to lure away and to get involved into the flock, the sheep of the good shepherd, from the very beginning. And thankfully, the good shepherd keeps watching out and keeps guarding us and keeps warning us. It's important, though, that we as a sheep are willing to trust the shepherd's warning and heed them. Amen? And stay away from any dangerous or false teachings. I was just reading earlier this week how the Anglican Church, the Church of England, was vehemently opposing the UK's government intentions to move their Israeli embassy to Jerusalem, which is the capital of the nation of Israel. And the clergy, the Anglican clergy in Great Britain, were opposing that move. You'd say, well, why? As Christians, they would know that Israel and that Jerusalem is their capital, that it has been historically and biblically always been like that. And the problem is false teachers. The problem is they've been listening to the voice of strangers and deceivers. And the problem is replacement theology, where they believe that as reformers that the Church of England has replaced the nation of Israel. Hence, they do not care about Jerusalem. And the Bible teaches us that we ought to care and pray for Jerusalem, and that God one day will return his working with this straying nation. And praise God for his faithfulness and for his mercy. And you cannot read the book of Romans without realizing that replacement theology is not in your Bible. Now notice verse 11. On the contrast then, you see how the Lord Jesus says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd, do you know why he's good? John 10 verse 11. Because he sees the sheep's need and he cares for the sheep's need. What was your need and my need? Well, eternal life. We were dead in sin and without hope and without Christ. And so Christ paid the punishment for our sins, and he died on the cross so that you and I could live and go free and unpunished. And hallelujah, praise the Lord for that, amen. And so the good shepherd is good because he sees our need and he cares for it. But a careless, a selfless shepherd, a stranger, does not care for the well-being of the sheep and is most of all not willing to sacrifice in compassion for the need. Yet the Lord saw that. Sadly, his disciples missed what was going on. Oh, Lord, it's late. Lord, you know, these people are going to get hungry. Let's just send them away so we can have our holiday. And Lord said, guys, don't you see the need? Don't you see the sheep without the shepherd going astray and being lost? Just a few observations in regards to the sheep and the shepherd. Number one, sheep are receptive to the voice of the shepherd. They know his voice and respond to it. When he calls, they come and do what he says. Number two, sheep are known personally by the shepherd. And that's why they trust him. And they respond to the shepherd's care for his sheep with faith, with trust in the shepherd. Notice in John chapter 10, verse 3, it says that to him the porter openeth, the sheep hear his voice. And notice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Sales personalities will tell you that one of the greatest tricks of the trade is to make physical contact, shake somebody's hand, you immediately gain their trust, and then try to remember the name for all your life. Unfortunately, it's not working well for me. I got blonde hair and there's no hope for my memory, but I try, amen. But you know what? They'll teach you, oh, remember their name, and you'll immediately get a personal connection, and people will be more trusting you. And you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. Not, you know, because we want to know sleazy sales techniques, but because somebody who knows our name shows us some personal interest and care for us. That's not, hey, you. It's like Liam Morgan. It's Joanne Duig. And each and every one of us, it's you personally. There's, I'm not an expert in brain activity, but I've read up some articles that explain there is a special place of our brain that lights up with activity when people say a personal name. And the Lord cares so intimately for us, folks, that he calls us by name. You know, I love Isaiah chapter 43, the passage of scripture that the Lord used to save my wretched soul, and praise the Lord for that. And it says there, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. That's how much the shepherd cares for you and me, his sheep. Are we trusting Him? Are we trusting Him? Without question, because He's the shepherd who cares for us. Number three, the sheep follow the shepherd. I've mentioned that already. The shepherd doesn't drive them, He leads them. And the sheep are willing to follow Him. They obey Him, knowing that He goes before them in order to remove all obstacles and dangers. And they're willing to trust and obey Him. The sheep follow the shepherd. Number four, the sheep are in a herd or in a flock. They're communal, if you will. And they always follow the shepherd in a group. There's safety in the flock. They form a flock or fellowship of fellow sheep and follow the shepherd together as one, as a body of sheep. Amen. And of course, we have a beautiful illustration of that in Acts chapter 2 there in verse 42. Number five, sheep are given eternal life. Sheep are given eternal life. And I want to notice here in John 10, verse 10, we're almost done. John 10, verse 10, it says that the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. That's the devil, folks. The devil never cares for you. Let me say this again. The devil never cares for you. Why in the world would we listen to his voice and his stinking lies? Amen? As we do each and every day. Why wouldn't we follow the voice of the shepherd? The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come, says Jesus the good shepherd, that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. The word abundantly means in sufficient degree. It means fully or amply, plentifully, in large measure. It gives basically the idea of a plate or of a cup that is completely full and running over. That's the kind of life, that kind of care that the shepherd wants to give to the sheep. He doesn't just give them eternal life one day. No, the eternal life already starts right here and right now by Him giving us abundant life while we're already on this earth and while we're following His voice. Number six, the sheep are kept from perishing by the shepherd's care. The sheep are kept from perishing. And that's where, of course, we sing the song, Rescue the Perishing. Care for the dying. See the sheep without the shepherd. And respond in compassion as the Lord did. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish. Say, what's perish? Have you ever thrown something out of your fridge that perished, that went bad? That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And may I add, have abundant life already right here and right now as well. And of course, we lastly, number seven, see how the sheep are secure. The sheep are secure. And no man can pluck them out of the shepherd's hand. Now, that's a beautiful picture because, again, I had the privilege of seeing that lived out right there as the shepherd cared for his sheep. And so he'd find a lamb or sheep somewhere that needed to be checked out for some reason or needed some care. And so he'd have the staff with this little bent hook there. And so the sheep would naturally try to run away from the reach of the shepherd, sadly. And so that's why he had the staff. In Psalm 23, beautiful picture there of the shepherd's staff. So he could catch the sheep at the neck or behind the hinder leg and pull it towards him. And the interesting thing is, as soon as the sheep felt the shepherd's touch, completely calm. Completely calm. No blurking, no meh, no screaming, no trying to wiggle and run away. It was amazing. And so here, the shepherd was holding this little lamb, and he could show me all, okay, you got to watch out for this on their feet, and here's, you know, how you examine the teeth and everything. And they would just sit there, knowing they were safe and secure in the shepherd's hand. Because no man can take them out of the shepherd's hand, and they're safe. And that's why they can be still. Amen? What a powerful picture, folks. Amen? And anyone who's trying to snatch the sheep out of the shepherd's hand, no matter how wild their attempt may be, is doomed to fail. They're secure kept from the evil one, secure even from the devil's rage himself, secure even from the onslaught of the Antichrist. And I want us to take just a quick moment here to look at this in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Because I know this is a big issue. I know this is a worry and a fear among many. Where is this world going? What is happening? You know, when will chaos really break out in our life, in our world? And what will happen with that Antichrist and God's judgments to come? And I always say, folks, if you're in the shepherd's hands, why are you scared? Why are we running around like chickens with their heads cut off, amen? Why are we all worried and looking for the Antichrist behind every bush when we should be looking towards the shepherd who keeps us safe in his hand? I've got to do this quickly for the sake of time. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And of course, we believe that clearly refers to a reference of the rapture of the church of you and me before the time of God's judgment upon this earth, the tribulation. And God is in control. The Antichrist cannot rise until God lets him. All right? That's the first thing. Verse 8. Then that wicked will be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Folks, we've got to be careful. If we get all glory-eyed about miracles everywhere, there are false signs and lying wonders too, especially in these end times. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness. Oh, God, I'm scared. I want to be deceived somewhere without knowing by the Antichrist. In them that perish. A sheep can't perish. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish. Notice, because they received not the love of the truth that they might be saved. If you're here this evening and you're a believer, you're a sheep in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you love the truth of the Word of God, you're immunized against the Antichrist. Amen? This is good stuff. That'll keep you safe and secure and sitting still in the shepherd's arms. Verse 11, for this cause God shall send them a strong delusion. Oh, I'm scared. Have I been deceived? Have I fallen to the great delusion somehow? Oh. God shall send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie. Notice that they all might be damned who believed not the truth. You believe the truth of the Word of God? Well, then the Antichrist can't touch you. Well, in fact, you're safe and secure in the shepherd's arms. But have pleasures in unrighteousness. Those are the ones that will be deceived. And lastly tonight, I want us to notice, as we go back to Mark chapter 6, there in verse 34, how the Lord steps out of the boat, he sees the people's need, how they're as sheep having no shepherd, going astray, and then he begins to teach them many things. He begins to teach them many things. And I thought it was interesting. The Lord had the right priorities. The disciples thought about food first. Maybe they were Baptists, I don't know. but what does the Lord focus on first? Their spiritual need. And he has the first things first and the right priorities. The right priority always ought to be what is the most urgent and the most important. Amen? And Jesus Christ put the people's spiritual needs before his or his disciple physical needs. Jesus Christ put their spiritual needs before and above their physical needs, like food and shelter in the desert. Now, he did care for those needs too, and he took care of them, amen? But first things first. And I was reading up a little bit about an internet meme that probably all of us are familiar with. Who knows but first coffee? But first coffee. Who's familiar with that little meme, that little saying? All right. Wow, okay, you guys are staying off the internet. Good job. But first coffee. And I thought about this. You know, it basically expresses that, you know what, my priority is first to get caffeinated, right? To first you know, get my system going, right? What about, though, if as the Lord's sheep, we would change this? And we would say, you know what? But first, Bible. But first, Bible. And we would say, one preacher that I listened to one time was sharing, he would say, no Bible, no breakfast. And so he wouldn't dare touch his food, his breakfast, until or unless he had first eaten some spiritual food. But first, Bible. And we need to realize that God has the right priorities, and that those are the priorities that we need to follow. What the disciples cared for seemed very sensible. And it's like, well, Lord, you know, we don't have enough food. This is our resources. God, we got to take care of things. Listen to our advice. But the Lord has a better idea. Lord often has better ideas than you and me. And the Lord moves on to teach the disciples that a little in our hands is much when it's given into God's hands. A little in our hands is much when it's given into God's hands. Folks, God wants to use our life to meet the needs of lost souls in Victoria. Are we willing to give what little we have into His hands, just like the boy that we'll read about as we move on in the story? And are we willing to trust Him with it all? Are we willing, like the Lord says in 1 Corinthians 15, to have the right priorities? First of all, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and was buried and rose again. First of all, are you saved tonight? Do you know that you have peace with God? Folks, we're not going around trying for people to doubt their salvation. What we're trying to make sure is that we are saved. Amen? And as Romans chapter 8 teaches us, the Holy Spirit of God will clearly confirm that to our hearts through the peace of God. Folks, first of all, the Bible teaches us in 1 Timothy chapter 2, we ought to have supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks made for all men. First of all, what are our priorities as the sheep of God? But first, Bible. That was the Lord's priority. But first, He saw their spiritual needs. And first, aren't you thankful that He took care of our greatest need? And that He approached us as the shepherd of our souls? Amen? So that we would not perish, but be eternally secure and safe in the shepherd's hands. What are our priorities in response tonight? The disciples, oh, food, food, food. The Lord says, no, no, no. There's some sheep that need a shepherd. Are we thankful? Are we trusting that shepherd tonight? And are we willing to respond in compassion and to see the priorities and the needs the way He does? As we all stand, let's bow our heads, close our eyes, please, as we pray. Let's all stand, please, bow our heads, close our eyes in prayer. I sure appreciate your attention tonight. I know it's Thanksgiving weekend. And folks, if nothing else, we can praise God tonight and thank Him that we have a good shepherd. A shepherd that looks out and cares for our souls. And as Esther plays and as we bow our heads and close our eyes in prayer, let me ask you this. Do you trust the shepherd who rescued you from perishing, from going astray, who rescued you from turning to your own way, and brought you into the fold of God? Are we willing then to move out and rescue other perishing with that same message? Are we trusting the voice of the shepherd tonight? The one who calls us by our name. I don't know what mountains or what valleys the good shepherd is about to lead you through, but tonight, is where you predetermine and where you decide that no matter what height and what low, you are going to try.